Attention, foreman. Trouble on bench 5. Check on the nut tightness. Nuts coming through loose on bench 5. Attention, foreman.
That's a scene from Charlie Chaplin's 1936 film Modern Times, in which Chaplin's iconic little tramp character struggles to keep up on an assembly line. Many movie watchers see the film as Chaplin's criticism of the industrial age, but it's also an early example of how work itself is portrayed on the big screen. On this Labor Day, we thought we'd take a look at how movies show us what to do and what not to do on the job. And to help us do that, we're joined by Steven Zeitchik, who covers film for the Los Angeles Times. Steve, welcome.
Good to be here.
Do you have a sense of how many movies out there are really based on showing people work on screen?
Well, Sasha, it's an interesting point. I mean, really what we've seen throughout the sort of evolution of cinema is a kind of reflection in terms of these workplace movies of how we function in the workplace. You know, you talk about Modern Times and Charlie Chaplin and that whole transition to an industrial society, and certainly I think that was what the country was beginning to go through in the 1930s. And sort of as you move through the decades right up until today, everything from, you know, sexual harassment to workplace mores to insufficient pay to all sorts of issues that we deal with in the workplace have all been kind of reflected and refracted in the movies that we see about it.
We selected a bunch of movies we want to talk about. Some of them fall into issues of sort of male-female roles. Some are about demeaning work. Some are about horrible bosses. Why don't we start with one from 1988? This is Working Girl, the movie in which Melanie Griffith stars as a secretary who's struggling to make her way in the business world. And in this scene, we hear some of the indignities she has to face. Here's one where she has to get her boss out of the men's room to take a call.
Mr. Allagash is on the phone. He's real, real anxious to talk to you.
You couldn't maybe get him to hold for a minute?
Well, you got him in Genetech. He knows what I said go short on, and it's fine, but he don't want to hear it from a secretary.
There's no paper.
What?
There is no goddamn paper in this stall. Get me some?
So she's sent on a toilet paper errand. And again, 1988. So in the 80s, had we really not moved beyond that at that point?
Well, you know, the sort of conventional wisdom has said it does take a little bit of time for Hollywood to catch up to what's going on. And yet at the same time, I think films like that, if you go back about 8 years earlier to 9 to 5, with, of course, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, really great female cast, sort of dealing with their own issues with, you know, male-female relationships or sort of the glass ceiling. And I think that, you know, what all these movies, that sort of crop of movies have done is kind of show us how we've progressed or in some cases not progressed when it comes to women making strides in the workplace.
And then there's another movie that focuses very much on men and the pressures they face. I'm thinking about Glengarry Glen Ross. That's 1992. Mm-hmm. It's about a Chicago real estate office where the salesmen are thrown into this really cutthroat competition. And it's fueled by this challenge that this corporate guy that the higher-ups have brought in pose to them, and that person is played by Alec Baldwin. Here's what he says to those salesmen.
We're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
Steve, what are the different ways that movies show us how men and women are treated in the workplace and what they face?
I think particularly when it comes to men, it's always been a very sort of classic realm through which to view, you know, this sort of whole issue of machismo and alpha personalities. I mean, you see it in movies like Wall Street. You certainly see it in Glengarry Glen Ross, where, you know, much like I think a kind of sports or a locker room arena where you really have, you know, very sort of stubborn personalities competing against each other, you could kind of see how men interact. And I think in many cases it's accurate. I think one of the things that a movie like Glengarry Glen Ross gets so correct is just how tragic it all is, and how I think even though they're all sort of competing and they all seem to be kind of trying to get a leg up on the other, everybody has their own insecurities. And I think much like a real workplace where people often put on a good front because they don't want their coworkers to see their vulnerabilities, what we often find in these films as these movies progress is that, in fact, these people are quite fallible and they have some pretty serious weaknesses and vulnerabilities.
There's a different kind of tragedy portrayed in movies that focus on the service industries. Even if we take a case like Clerks, the movie from 1994, that shows the lives of these two New Jersey clerks. There's one named Dante, who works at a convenience store, and then there's one named Randall, who works at the video rental store next door. And we have pulled a scene from that movie in which Randall, the video store guy, hasn't shown up for work yet, and that leaves Dante to deal with an angry customer.
I walked in there the other day. That son of a bitch was sleeping.
I'm sure he wasn't sleeping.
Are you calling me a liar? Are you calling me a liar?
No, he's probably just resting his eyes.
What the hell is that, resting his eyes? What, like he's the mayor traffic controller?
Actually, that's his night job.
Wise ass too, huh? God, keep cracking, Wise. That's why you're jockeying to register in some f***ing local convenience store instead of working on a steady job.
So, Steve, there's humor in the movie, but it also gets at the ways that jobs can kind of kill your soul in a way.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting moment in sort of the history of cinema and really the history of work in this country. You know, you talk about 1994. You know, we were sort of coming out of a recession. We were going into kind of a pretty prosperous time as we were then. But, you know what, at the same time, I think there were a lot of people getting out of school, you know, in their 20s. You look at the sort of whole Gen X and kind of grunge music phenomenon. And I think that was also reflected in our cinema. And, you know, this idea that even as some people kind of at the top of the food chain were doing quite well, there were people at the bottom, whether by dint of society or their own, you know, lack of ambition, were not doing very well. And I think that throughout the 90s, we saw both TV shows and films really tackle this. I think of a movie from that same year in a sort of somewhat different tonal vein, and that's Reality Bites. And of course, as the 90s went on, we ended up with Office Space. We closed out the decade with Office Space. So we're really looking at a whole kind of crop or subgenre of films, if you will, that look at how, you know, people who are younger and should have a lot of opportunities in a prosperous economy are struggling with everything that's in front of them.
And Office Space, which you just mentioned, is a great example of a movie that has quite a horrible boss. You know, the movie centers around a guy named Peter who works at a software company that's being downsized. So this is a guy with a good white-collar job. But he has this boss, played by Gary Cole, who just constantly abuses him. And we have a scene here that happens when the boss catches Peter just as he's trying to get out the door on a Friday afternoon.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay? Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? We lost some people this week, and we need to sort of play catch-up. Thanks.
It's interesting. We don't mind watching movies about work in our spare time.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's the sort of ultimate catharsis, right? This kind of misery loves company, or this kind of like, wait a second, that recognition of this is exactly what I was going through in my job, even though it's a totally different line of work and a totally different set of personalities. And yet there's something so recognizable and I think even therapeutic about it. And I think, you know, when you talk about Office Space, I think it also makes sense to talk about horrible bosses where the characters plot to knock each other's bosses off. That's sort of the ultimate catharsis when criminality gets involved.
Steve Zaitchik of the LA Times. Just ahead, movies about unemployment. Back in a minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation about workplace films on this Labor Day with Steven Zaitchik of the Los Angeles Times. And Steve, before the break, we were talking about films that portray bad bosses and rude customers and other downsides of having a job. But unemployment is an issue that many filmmakers take on, too. For example, there's the 2009 movie Up in the Air, the one in which George Clooney stars as a man whose job is to go around the country firing employees for companies that are trying to downsize. And as we hear in this scene, he's really good at it.
I see guys who work at the same company for their entire lives, guys exactly like you. They clock in, they clock out, and they never have a moment of happiness. You have an opportunity here, Bob. This is a rebirth.
I'm not sure I ever quite looked at downsizing that way, although I guess some people really do think of that. You know, maybe it's a benefit in disguise. Someone makes the decision for you, you're forced to do something different, and Clooney really captured that, at least that sales job idea of it.
He did, and I think what was so kind of novel about the film is that it did get at this downsizing issue from the point of view of someone who was doing the downsizing, and the idea that you kind of, you know, on one level sort of sympathize with him because here's a guy who's coming in, no one wants to be the hatchet man, no one wants to be the villain who's going to, you know, tell people that they're out of work. And yet at the same time, as you kind of realize that he has a very difficult job, you kind of hate him for, you know, conveying this message and doing it in this way and putting this kind of euphemistic spin on it, you know, telling people that, oh, well, it's okay because, you know, you're going to go on and do something better. So don't get too depressed today. And I think what that film really did was get at what we feel, the sort of work anxiety and the kind of employment anxiety that a lot of us feel, but coming at it in a totally different way that was sort of both refreshing and maybe even a little bit unsettling.
We've been talking a lot about more modern movies that focus on employment in office buildings. And but what we haven't talked about yet is labor films. You know, back when working conditions were quite awful, when there were a lot of union organizing efforts going on. And if we look back to 1979, Norma Rae, the movie in which Sally Field stars as a worker in a textile factory where conditions are so bad that she ends up working with a labor organizer to form a union. And this is a scene in which her factory bosses want to throw her off the floor.
Forget it! Right where I am! It's gonna take you and the police department and the fire department and the National Guard to get me out of here!
So, Steve, you know, most of us don't work in environments quite like that anymore. How much do you think that is a dated movie versus the reality for some people out there still?
Well, you know, look, I think a lot of people out there really do struggle and really do have to deal with some pretty difficult conditions, whether they're kind of physical conditions as they were in that movie or they're more psychological or sort of less tangible. That, I think, may have changed a little bit. But certainly there's a lot of that going on. I think what you have, though, in the case of a film like that and the moment that that film came out, and it really was sort of emerging from a kind of post-60s, you know, socially conscious, let's sort of change the world, let's change the environment around us. Obviously, unions were a very big part of that. So, you know, I don't think it's dated in the sense that it doesn't teach us some important things, but I think there was something, I put it this way, I think Hollywood would certainly not make that movie today. And I think if it did, I think an audience might find it somewhat hard to relate just because some of the sort of technical or literal details may feel a little bit foreign. But I do think the underlying message still does resonate.
How much do you think this movie affects how we see labor and labor organizing?
Oh, I think it affects us in sort of tremendously. I mean, this is always the question with movies where it's sort of it's feeding off something that's clearly going on in the wider world. But then it in turn reinforces or kind of enhances a certain either movement or perception. I mean, you know, I think the fact that, you know, we ended up moving kind of to more workplace comedies later was in many ways a symptom of the fact that some of these conditions had improved. And, you know, even though there were films later on, you think of a North Country, which came out about 7-8 years ago, and that was looking at difficult conditions sort of in its own way, I think a lot of movies have kind of gotten away from what Norma Rae was depicting, because the fact is out there in the real world, conditions did improve sort of around that and then after that time.
Steve, you mentioned North Country. That one's from 2005, and it was a fictionalized telling of the first major sexual harassment suit in the U.S., a great example of how oftentimes real-life things, of course, make it onto the screen and really reveal for a lot of people what goes on in workplaces.
Yeah, and it was sort of in that tradition of Norma Rae kind of showing, you know, Charlize Theron, of course, playing a woman who was, you know, kind of in a difficult position and both in her personal life and in her professional life. And I think that sort of through work, she both kind of suffered more, but also was able to find a certain measure of redemption. And I think you're absolutely right when you talk about how a film like that can kind of show us not only the difficult conditions that a lot of people work under, but also show us what's possible or how even very kind of working class sort of average or typical employees can transcend that. And I think there's something kind of grittily realistic on the one hand, but also kind of sublimely uplifting when you do see that change over the course of a film like that.
Another movie about unemployment is The Full Monty, the one about the unemployed workers who they decide they're going to form a striptease act to earn money. And, you know, it's interesting because they're out of work, but they end up taking huge pride in what they are doing when they're out of work. So they really put their heart and soul into this striptease. Got a huge year. I mean, it's almost as if no matter what we're doing, we do have this drive to work. And no matter what the work is, many of us want to do it well and show pride in what we do, even if it's a striptease.
I think that's well said. And I think in many ways, The Full Monty, I'm glad you brought that up, Sasha, because it is the ultimate workplace movie, and not just comedy, but movie. I mean, first, because, of course, you know, this group of kind of ne'er-do-wells get put out of their jobs, but then end up kind of taking on a very different kind of work that not only brings them pleasure, but brings a lot of other people pleasure or at least some laughs. And I think the idea of, I think both the sort of struggles we deal with in the workplace and the ways we can, as you say, kind of put our heart and souls into something else, some other form of work, are both very much on display and in a very light and comedic, but ultimately still pretty socially relevant way.
That's Steve Zeitschik of the Los Angeles Times, who covers film for the paper. We've been talking with him about work and labor films. Steve, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
The Full Monty also made full use of some disco classics, including this one, Hot Stuff, sung by the late Donna Summer. News is next. You're listening to Here and Now.